I'm going to start with the September 5th, Tim. When friends depart.
Proverbs. All right, guys, go ahead.
Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. As we grow older, it seems we lose more and more friends. Hardly a week goes by without receiving word that another friend has gone to be with the Lord. It was only a few months ago that I received word of the passing of Chris Vossler. Years ago, Chris gave me a gift of a plaque that reads, "A friend is one who knows you as you are, understands where you've been, accepts who you become, and still gently invites you to grow." As close as our dearest friends or friends may be, we have a friend who is still closer. I am speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is with us at all times. We are never really alone when others have departed, for he stays with us through the dark hours of the night. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is there beside us. When we receive devastating news, he is there to provide the comfort and solace to ease the pain. When we receive news that calls for rejoicing, he makes it even better, for we have one who rejoices with us. At all times and in every circumstance, our dearest friend makes our life worth living. Blessing, dear hearts. Draw near to God today and be a blessing. Pastor Cecil.
Amen.
Amen.
Where was that from?
I don't know. So what's Cecil?
Uncle Cecil drives a diesel.
No, that's an emotion I get every day from this guy for years.
Yeah, Cecil
accepts everything.
Cecil so, A. Thomas.
So anyway, you know, that, I mean, I love that.
I know him real well.
I love that. I love that because, you know, I like that point there where he says that, you know, that a friend that understands us. And, you know, a friend is one who knows you as you are and understands where you've been and accepts who you become and still gently invites you to grow. And invites you to grow. So, what do you guys think about that? You know, I like the point where it's saying right here.
You didn't get a text from me?
No. That every day, you know, Elsie is developing a wall, a memorial wall over at the office. You know, I mean, all the people that have passed away, all people that we know, friends, all of a sudden you're getting... Man, you know, there's somebody else passed away, and it's incredible how quickly they go, you know? And people that we haven't seen. Some time ago when I was at the center, before we closed that one over there, I had all these pictures on the wall. I just put them up there, didn't think nothing about it. Then one day I was looking at these pictures, wow. That person died, that person passed away. I said, my goodness, you know, when you get older, all your friends are passing away. You know, we started out as brothers, that scripture that we read. And, you know, if we got any comments on that, fine. If not, we could just continue what we're doing. But, again, you know, it says, a friend is one who knows you as you are. And we still love Phil.
No, we don't.
Understanding where you've been, accept who you are, you become, and still gently invites you to grow. So, tell me about a friend. Anybody got one of those?
Fritz.
Aggravating friend that you just love?
No, but here's one that accepts me just the way I am.
I do.
He does want you to grow.
Who's that?
Elsie.
Fritz.
How many more of those sheets, Fritz?
Not that guy back there who talks out of turn.
No. Nope.
And I can guarantee you can say the same about me.
Can you ever get rid of
just remember, if you want friends, be friendly. Right. There you go.
That's right.
Do I have to pay for yours?
Grab a little.
There'll be no doubt.
Okay, has anyone I'm just going to
She's
on the Bible college trip. All the words in the Bible true? No. Same line is I've messed up when I'm putting the line on the seniors.
Whole line. Because
the seniors got to have you. You can even we'll put you in the front row. This is what you go through in Bible college. That's what I want, the church. I do love you, friends.
I went to the Bible college of Bill Owens.
I don't have everybody's name, which I'm
I used to tell everybody,
I'll give you a break.
My name is
everybody owes our answer.
I look at the trail, I look at his stuff, I see like, and he wants to know this.
How did it go? They're still taking his work over in Africa.
Frank is here every day.
And in China.
Well, what's he going to do now to close him?
Frank will be here every day.
Sit outside, they're looking in the windows.
The reason I don't have any is because I have blah, 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 blah. The devil has the right cell phones. He can lose, if he can make it into the window. And if that means. But I think I'm going to use, I've been with the guys 27 years, I don't even have any best friends. I got Kathy's one.
The female, that's why.
So next week, when we all go into Busy Bees, we're going to find her all wear skirts.
Bring Kathy to Busy Bees.
She's looking for work.
Yeah. Bring her to Busy Bees.
I would appreciate that. No, I'm out of the loop.
$20.
You're out of the loop.
It's in great.
You're out of the loop.
You know,
I'm going to be here at 5 o'clock this morning, sitting in the parking lot. Well, if Perry shows up, excuse me. I'm number 7.
You know, somebody that sticks in my mind is a friend is Andy. How many of y'all remember Andy?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Andy walks with me.
No, not yet. Andy too. Lenny is making jokes.
Oh,
must be a day of joy.
The little 9-year-old boy in Sunday school. They asked him, what was God's name? And he said, Andy.
Oh, Andy walks with me. That's a beautiful song. Let's sing that song, and maybe we'll all get
lost. Is there anybody here that has a friend that you think about that passed away that you know, he was one of those special persons?
I tell you what, of all the people, I'm this, that, car accident, this, that. I'm thinking that Terry McKinnon. Shook me. 77 years old, rode his bike, worked out. He had such a blessing. Have you ever met Terry McKinnon from Praise Cathedral? You ever did? And he loved his wife. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he lived right down the street from me, and I go down there when I got so upset. I just go and sit with him, and he was just true blue, Terry McKinnon. Mm-hmm. And he just mentioned his wife's name, Barbara, and he'd start crying. They were married like 50-something years. Mm-hmm. He was an old Irish boxer, something. I would never thought that we would be friends. Yeah. But Terry McKinnon was my example of someone that was sold out for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the second person is Mahoney. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because people tell us, oh, yeah. He went through that, yeah. But Terry McKinnon, on a Friday, I go over and have a cup of coffee. Sunday, and he raised his granddaughters and da 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 and did this and did that. And he could cuss he was old Boston Catholic, knockout kind of person. Just a regular guy. Regular guy exemplified to me what Christ should be like. And on his granddaughter's Facebook, he said he missed Barbara. She died the year before. Fought cancer. And he was a believer. He gave me his healing scriptures, and he spent 2 hours just to get type it up and then try to get to Acre. He was just diligent, you know. Just a good old kind of guy. I mean, and of all the people, I tell you, I miss him almost every day. And John, three one. So
and who?
And Terry McKinnon, I believe that Jesus wants us real. but he wants us to love Jesus more. You see what I mean? Because he didn't like some people like that. But I said, yeah, I went to get the bread first, and they let him yell at me, so get back in line. Remember? I said, I don't know, you got to tell me first, right? And he would just say, that lady's just an old bum. But why I'm saying all that, because sometimes the devil tries to tell me, they're just regular people, they're just this. They have their issues. They don't.
What about Andrews?
You know what happens?
What happened?
You want to know what happens? This is supernatural.
Who?
Hey, Mark, knock it off. You know what happens? My nemesis is Paul Tate. Hello, Elsie. Paul Tate. But he's such a good friend, and I have a hard time getting away from it. And I'm saying this about friends, losing friends, and friends, and friends, and friends. And I'm saying that, what the heck, man? All the guys are just drinking, smoking, and that, and this, and that, and that. That's the friend I got. And I keep saying, and I'm going to pray right now, because I believe, he goes, hey, you know what, we're going to the Busy Bee. And he said, you have a great time. Because he loves cars and all that kind of stuff like that. But Terry McKinnon was that example of a regular guy. And the second thing that wins people to the Lord, they say, hey, we're having breakfast, I'll treat you to breakfast. And being that, and Sam, and say, hey, I know you don't got nothing to do, boys, so come down here. I'm long-winded because I said, why can't I get a handle on this fear? Got the whole promises, got this and got that, got this and got that. Because that's the same fear your dad had. And what did he fear? What he couldn't control. Terry McKinnon went away peacefully. He just went to sleep Sunday, and his granddaughter found that little Mia's great granddaughter, who's 4 years old, comes in, hey man, it's Pattinson. I didn't like Terry for that. I said, you're my best friend. Where are you going? What's this? I was selfish. But he's with Barbara now. But that, who knows? Yeah. You know, we have to believe that by faith. Everything is faith. I haven't met God except by faith. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to say this. I would love to pray for Paul Tate, that he's changing. He said, I gave up cigarettes. This is a guy I've been with for 4 years. He's fed me. He's helped me. He's done that through thick and thin. But his brother's a pastor, but he's been so hurt. See?
Go ahead. Anybody else got a special friend that passed away? Did anybody you think about? Anybody?
Yeah.
Who?
Pastor Bill Owens. Father's in it.
Yeah.
40 years I've known him. He went at 89 years old.
Wow.
But he left his mark everywhere he went. Mm. People used to say, that little guy with the big voice. And everybody he never had a mean thing to say to anybody about anybody. He always looked for the good in every person.
Yeah.
And he was in corporate America. God called him and his wife when they were down visiting down in Nassau to go into the ministry, and he started handing out. But even then, he made so many friends. Elsie, MC, we can attest to it. Everybody loved him. And even now, they still talk to him, or, oh, we miss Bill, you know?
Mark, where was his funeral?
Just from my church.
Ooh.
Oh, Christian service, huh?
Okay, we yeah. Anybody else?
We're Marcus now.
Go ahead, Romeo. And then you.
Harry Lytle, who ran the drive-in.
Oh, wow.
That man was unbelievable. I mean, his whole life was... he was a Baptist pastor, but you'd never know he was a Baptist when he was dealing with people, because he did not have... That wasn't what he was. He was not a Baptist pastor. He was a man of God. And everything past that point didn't matter. He had a Baptist background, so it's a big deal. I had a question from somebody one time asking me, I'm going to a charismatic church and I'm going to a Baptist fellowship, so I need to choose. And I went to him and I asked him, I said, do you feel that I need to choose? And he goes, no. He says, as long as it's all dealing with Jesus, he said, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
And yet someone else from the other side sat there and said, basically, you know, you can't make a choice, you can't, you have your feet in both sides. It was a big difference in my life to see someone who was so concerned about Jesus. He is my mentor. He's the person that I look to as far as, I mean, Jesus is number one, okay, but he is the one that showed me how to really have a Jesus-filled life.
Amen.
What was his name again?
Terry Lytle.
I had when I first came here, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I had a guy that was an elder in a church back in Indiana that kind of took me under his wing when I first started going to that church. And I knew him for probably 20 years. He was, he died 2 years ago when he was 95.
Wow.
And the guy was old when I met him, and in our standards. And but yeah, he took me, he had the patience to take what I considered a young, aggressive, a little bit too outgoing maybe, a young man under his wing. And I became an elder in that church. And I think it was through his guidance, through the scripture that led me there. And he had been an elder until he stepped down because of his health. But he was married. I heard somebody say something about the guy over there talking about his friend that cried when his wife died, or every time her name was mentioned. Paul was so strong. He didn't do that, but his wife was in bad health, and he never once winced about that, because he trusted in God to take care of all the problems. And he adopted not just his, he didn't raise his kids, he adopted his grandchildren, and he adopted two great-grandchildren. Wow. And raised them from babies on up.
Yeah.
And the guy was just, he was a scripturally led man, a godly man, if there ever was a godly man on this earth. It was Paul Owens. And Paul was just everything to me. And when he died, I can't say a piece of me left, because he'll always be in my heart. I've got a picture of him over my desk every day where I sit at my desk. I feel like he's kind of watching over me.
Wow.
And he's sitting next to my mom. I've got a little urn that's got her ashes in it. But they both of those people just shine down on me every day. And it makes my day go easier, because I know that they touch my life. But I'm like everybody else. My favorite song is by a lady, Sharon K. King, who wrote a song called "Jesus Is My Best Friend." He knows all about me. He knows where I've been, and that song just touches my heart, because he is without a doubt my best friend.
When I first came here from Chicago, you have to understand now the environment that I came from, because everybody in the neighborhood was Spanish, and all the people hung out were Spanish, and so I really didn't have any what I call American or white friends. And so when I first came here, I was working at a First Amendment Oldsmobile. There's a guy named John Robinson. And he was from Georgia or somewhere up in that area. And he was an old man. And that guy was during Christmas time. And this man, me, that my wife and I didn't have any family or anything here. You know, we knew people, but we didn't have any family. But that man, and I hate to say this, I'm just going to say, he was a white, I call him a country guy, everybody, whatever. But you know what? He invited me and my wife to their Christmas a party. And I'm over there delirious. I said, man, I've never been around a bunch of white folks, you know, or people like that, because I always had this imagination of Southern folks being racist and prejudiced and all this other stuff. And man, I'm going to tell you what, when we went there, they embraced us, they loved us. So much to the fact that him and I, we worked together, and when he retired, I opened up my shop. He used to come and work for me. He was older, man, but he could tell some stories, dude. Man, this dude could tell stories. My wife used to work in the office, and he had her in stitches all the time. But when he passed away, when his wife passed away, He at that point, I get to know the Lord and all that, and he asked me to do the funeral.
Wow.
And then when he passed away, his son asked me to do the funeral.
Yeah,
I'm waiting. And to me, that was the first individual that I've had that type of relationship. And he was a Christian. I think they went to Northside Baptist. But we didn't have that kind of relationship yet, but we knew each other, we loved each other. And this guy, when my wife was pregnant, and I was trying to quit smoking, I came in one day, he had a whole carton of cigarettes that I smoked, and he put it on the table. He said, look, if you don't quit smoking, you wait till your wife gets done. Because right now I can't sit. You're irritating me, you know. Here's a pack of cigarettes.
That's,
you know, when you try to quit smoking, you know. But he was a great guy. Another guy. Now these guys, Alex Borrello. Anybody, Alex Borrello, Spanish guy. When I first came in here to Chicago, from Chicago here, I was looking for my own kind. You know, some Latinos and stuff. And somebody told me that there's a Latino that lives over there. So I still have my long leather coat. It was wintertime. It went down to my knees, you know. And I go over there and knock on his door. Pop, 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 pop. He opens up. He looks at me. Yeah? And I say, you Puerto Rican? He said, and he looked at me and said, yeah, what about it? Well, I am too, man. Hey, I just came here, you know. I was looking for that. But Alex and I, he has mental fatigue, man, like when he was in the service and all that. I mean, but this guy here knew the word. And him and I would battle for hours. We were talking, because I was I was a JW at that time. And him and I, we would argue about scripture, and he'll give me scripture, and he'll teach and talk to me. He led my wife to the Lord.
Wow.
And he led me to the Lord. Is he still messed up? Yeah. You know, because he had a drinking problem, drugs and this and that, lost his driver's license, all this other stuff. But you can't find somebody that loves God as much as he does. And all his, that's why, I guess, you know, when God puts you or gives you into a ministry, you know, he gives you the weirdest purest people that they love the Lord, but they may not be walking like somebody else in a church, or, you know, they're just real people, but they love God. And those two guys are, Alex is still alive, but John Robinson meant a lot to me, because him and his wife, they would go to Ruskin's to get tomatoes, and they pack, you know, they put them in a jar and stuff. I said, man, those country folks do that. I don't know. What do I know? I'm a city boy, you know? and that meant a lot to me, that somebody like him embraced me. And So I've never really had that, you know. I mean,
I want to answer a question when you're done. I want to answer one of his questions.
Go ahead. Threw out
there. He had, Bill had said, I've never seen God. Has anybody seen God? I'm telling you what, Bill owns. Let me finish, though. You hear that question. You hear that question.
You know what?
Can I finish what I'm saying, please?
You cannot.
Yes, I can. Because it's for everybody.
Excuse me.
It's for everybody, okay?
You know what?
Bill Owens, the man, said to me when I was first coming, when I first got, if you want to see the, if you want to see God, look in the mirror. He goes, God created us in His image. God has created us in His image and likeness, and it's a little distorted, but it's there, and that's how you, by faith, you straighten it out.
What the answer?
Look in the mirror, though, because a lot of people, you know, they go. I mean, there's people that that. They probably want to turn to Jesus, but they don't know how, and they don't know who to talk to and trust. And it's like,
how can
he
love me? How can he love me? No, that guy looks in the picture, and how can he love me? And that's what you're saying.
You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing that this man's example was God to you.
Yeah.
I would like to get his name, that the same way with him. He was a father to you. He was gracious to you. All the character of God. So I'm seeing a tangible person. So I'll rephrase that. I have seen God in others.
Yeah.
But to actually see his face, no, I haven't. The point of it is a lot of the stuff, as I'm getting older, I'm enraged right now. Because I get under attack. And the liar can come in at any time. So Elsie is my authority. If I get, you'll see manifestations. What I'm trying to say is I'm hearing, I would love to get this guy's name because it's very important to you. If I love you, I want to know what changed your life. And didn't Paul say this, Alan? As I follow Christ, Paul, a man in the flesh, so follow me. If I don't connect, I'm not here in fantasy land. So Elsie is being an example. I mean, how's it going? I'm just going by faith. You're kind to me, so why don't you do this and do that? The scriptures are God's word. But I will tell you, if I don't come to you and say, I'm under attack, almost lost my leg, I got this bug last week, I had a brilliant job, but I couldn't handle it. And so you say, hey, hold on, we'll be all right. I saw your thing about your teeth. You know, so you're not in this alone. My father and I have to share this. Why? Because he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I have to believe that he hears me. See, one time I remember having a terrible fit. I said, God, if you don't hug me, I'm not going to make it. I believe he hugged me.
Amen.
But now, he uses Elsie. So come by. If you're struggling, come by. Rich, I came here because I didn't see you in the picture last week. I was worried about Andre. I'm here. And why? This isn't church. Because this is Friday, and Sunday I might be with the Lord because I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling. I think, God, I'm trying to believe you. I'm trying to, after 47 years, but if you can't hear me, and one time I went through this, and Glenn Shavers, I looked on the list, and Glenn Shavers, and this guy's falling out. He needs help, and you reached out. Because if this table is not doing what Christ is, then forget the whole thing.
Amen.
See? And I appreciate it because Fritz has been there since the St. Pete time. You know, and I'm struggling. I'm really not struggling.
I'm glad that he brought that up because, you know, I'm struggling. And it's dealing with death.
Yes.
Okay. And it's not the wife so much, although there's a lot of struggle going on with her. But I lost it, wasn't it? And what's deeply disturbing to me is, well, it's because it was on my mom's side of the family, and there really hasn't been a whole lot in the family, on her side of the family, that have given their heart to the Lord, rather than in a superficial, I go to church type way, you know. So I really can't tell with them where their heart is.
you know. And this cousin of mine, Jeremy, you know, even though I've been gone from the group, and God still brings your faces in front of me, okay? And I've been gone for a reason that has to deal with my marriage and struggle with it, okay? But with my cousin Jeremy, the one guy that seemed to be progressing very well along, and the way the Lord brought him up to my memory was actually to my brother over here. Yes, if you were to go to my Facebook page, you'll see my cousin Jeremy carrying a cross. Mm. Okay? Now, he was addicted to drugs for decades before his life turned around. He had become, he had gotten a new wife, he married, the whole family on my mom's side thought everything was going well. But apparently he didn't have someone to reach out to. He is in Indiana. Okay, that's a long way from Florida. Even though I got along with him on Facebook good and stuff and would encourage him that way, he committed suicide.
Oh no.
Okay, he did it in a terrible way. He went to an interstate, to an overpass, got out of his vehicle, and jumped right into the trucks.
Yeah.
Ended up in the front cab of a truck.
Wow.
You know, killed, obviously. Like, his whole family's stunned. His kids are stunned. His new bride of 3 months, 2 months, whatever, stunned. You know, and it was like it came out of nowhere. It caught the whole family, you know, by shock. The only thing that I could figure is that he did not have a close-knit group of people to support around him that he could reach out to and talk to.
Right.
Now, what's the reason it's so difficult for me, outside of this is the second one related to me that's committed suicide. One on Dad's side years ago, and one on my mom's side. But why it reaches out so hard to me is because there are many people over the years who've been suicidal, and I've shared with them and tried to help them through this time just by being a friend, you know. And these same people, to this day, still come back and talk to me. And after 10, 15 years, there's another friend who was up in New York State, was working for Homeland Security, lost his entire family completely. Mental condition, basically. Okay, so he's sitting there crying out to help for me during the time that I'm dealing with the wife who is just was not rational for a long time. And also my cousin, who's committed suicide. And now this guy that I helped to prevent from doing it 20, 30 years ago, whatever it was, I don't remember how long ago it was, you know, he's saying now he wants to commit suicide. Now these are brothers in Christ, okay? These are people that have come to the Lord, but they're mentally, they're having problems. Now, when they do this kind of stuff, it's usually because there's no support around them. Whether it's their fault or someone else's, you know, there's usually no support around them. So, you know, it's hard for me to reach out to somebody in another state and whatever to be that support. Okay, I can pray for him, and that's great. But, you know, it's a friend you can touch.
Right.
You know, if there's someone, the presence is there.
You're getting less and less.
Yeah. So my prayer for these people is that God sends a person to them that they can wrap their arms around them.
Amen.
Say, I love you. You know, you're important. You got work.
Yeah.
You know, that's my heart. Towards them.
Amen. Let's pray.
Amen.
Pray. Let's pray.
Oh.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, right now, Father. I sense his heart, I feel his feelings, Lord, Father. And Father, I want you to go a little step further than that, Lord. Father, there are these people that are walking around, they have no one. They have no one that they could call on the phone, that they could talk, or they could reach out to. But Father, what's even worse than that, Lord, that even among the friends that we have here right now, there are people that sit here right now that we know each other. We've been gathered together for years, Lord. People come and people go. But yet we don't have anybody to reach out to, even amongst our own group. So Father, there's a loneliness that within a crowd. You're in church and you're lonely amongst all the people. There's an old song, Lord, that came out, a Motown song, that the tracks of my tears. And that's so prevalent in our life today because that's what happens to every one of us. Even in the midst of where we are, we know people. We could call somebody, but we don't. And I feel, Lord, that most of the problems that we have is that we're too proud. And because we're proud, then we don't reach out. And we hold on to ourselves. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that we humble ourselves before you and humble ourselves before our peers. And build a closer relationship. Because a relationship is not just coming together every Friday morning for years. A relationship is that who do you have to call? Who can you call? And we need to build those relationships, Father, because especially as the time gets nearer, we ask you this in Christ's name, amen.
Father, I just lift up each and every one of us here, Lord God, that if any of us feel alone or isolated or by ourselves, Lord God, that you bring to remembrance a name of someone here that they can call or they can contact, and none of us will be too busy if we can't listen to a brother and help a brother, Lord. And we just thank you for the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance our name to that person when they need it, Lord, at that most vulnerable time, Lord God. We just thank you for that.
Besides pride, there's sometimes running through it. I even dealt with it when I was a young Christian too. When I want to ask somebody a question, there was a fear what the answer would be that I wouldn't like the answer. And we have to deal with that fear. And everybody sees fear in the Bible and they say, oh my God, you know, you gotta be, there's fear, terror, and there's fear, respect. That my fear has gone to respect. And when I fear something in the Word or something, I'm respecting what they say. I put my mind in that stage. Get away from being worried. I don't care what you say, because you know what? Remember when we were kids? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Except God's.
Elsie, who do you have to reach out to?
His wife.
No.
What do you mean?
No. It's not about,
another brother.
We're talking about man.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
I mean, I got you. I got Pastor Eric. I got men in the church. I got Joe. I got Mark. I got quite a few men that I can.
But do you really reach out?
I haven't really been at the point where I felt, you know,
praise like God.
I can say yes. He has.
I'm pretty much an open book. I don't really try to keep anything.
Well, I'm offended that you don't call me when you need help.
I am. If it comes to work or doing something like that, I am. I'll get it done.
No, I'm being real. I'm offended. I'm offended. And because you know my phone is there anytime.
And I call you back.
No, not enough.
I know he called Negro.
Oh, I know. And you know what, Mark? I'm going to tell you right now, Mark. I thank God for you and Elsie. Because, you know, during this downtime that he fell out, you were there. You got a hold of you. And you were there, you held his hand
and
up, and you picking him up every morning, so those are those relational aspects. Then who do you have to call?
Yeah.
You may know people, but there's that person that you're going to call.
You got to have one or two brothers that you can call in any situation.
Yeah.
Like me, I have MC, and I have Pastor Mark.
Good.
Those two, I know I can call them about anything.
Were you going to say something?
I feel that it was the Lord's hand when Elsie had his accident. He's up there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if he hadn't been able to get a hold of Mark, I wouldn't have been able to get him down. I wouldn't have been able to figure out how to get that forklift and everything and like that. And just about the time he got him down with that forklift and everything, I was there to take him to the hospital. So I think it just all played into
boom. It was very well orchestrated by the whole trigger.
And we didn't orchestrate it.
No, we got
it. It was, yeah, it was.
That's the thing, that's orchestrated.
You know,
Mark had to feel the same way I did. Who in the hell's calling me at 5 o'clock in the morning?
No. I just answered the phone. Chris. Chris.
Now I'm going to make a statement not only on that, by what you're saying is very true. There's also circumstances that are beyond your control.
Yes.
Okay? And you want to keep me in prayer, keep my family in prayer, my wife in prayer especially. But there's a reason I said before I have not been here. It's not because I was too lazy to get up.
No.
Andre, I really feel for you. My heart really feels for you in this situation. I'm going through something very similar to you. Yeah, I've been given ultimatums by my wife. You will not do this. You will not do that. She's mentally unstable during the time she's done this. Okay? I've been going through dealing with her, the police department, and different things. At the same time, I was told not to come to this meeting, because I'm choosing you above her. And you see, she's considered me her best friend our whole life. Our marriage has been that way, my determination in that is during the height of the mental instability, I didn't come here, and there was a reason for that, because you can't reason with someone when they're not in the back. Okay, so that's why I have not been here. But she's tapped who I consider my best friend for life. It was so bad that he blocked our phone number to keep from her getting to his wife, because she was just creating a terrible mess in that. So my best friend, who I've had for since high school, he said, I gotta block your number because I can't have her doing this. It's creating a disturbance in my marriage. Well, that since then has been remedied quite a bit. In other words, she's tolerating him now being around and stuff. And this morning she goes to me, where are you going? And I go, I'm going to meet with the men
like I've done
all these years. And she's still disturbed about it. Now I look at it as she could get mad and end the marriage right now. And it would have nothing to do with me. Because she's making the decision, not me. And I pray it won't go that way. Because I've been married since 1982.
I need to throw this question out, which I already know the answer. Can you appease a devil?
No, you can't.
And it keeps taking and it keeps taking and it keeps blocking. The unction came on me. I have to rephrase my whole way of thinking. Unction came on me. I said, let's pray for Chris. Mahoney, Elsie, we prayed. And you were here, and she was in the right mind now. I'm going to make a commitment, because this is the same way with Andre. I have personal issues. I was such a guy from battle. On and on and on. Whatever he can do to keep me from here. He's lying to me all the time. But Andre was on my mind. What are you doing over there? And so I have to make a personal stop, just a second. To make a personal commitment to pray and the fast that these lying things, I'm not over that way somewhere and this way somewhere. That's what the Bible says, right, Alan? This thing does not come out by prayer and fasting. I can't get upset because why are we praying and fasting? What if I have to say, well, how important is Fritz's sanity? It's destroying his whole family. Even though I see on Facebook everybody's happy, the dogs and skating and everything. I don't know, Andre.
Elsie. I just did.
Oh, you just did?
I'll take it away.
So I'm trying to make a commitment because I said, I'm under attack. This is happening. This is happening. Everything I have, my phones are down. Listen to that. I'm isolated. And I'm saying, why am I isolated? Because he knows the potential to pray for you. And Andre, and Elsie, and I'm done.
Sam, who do you have to call? I'm at the gold
company. I was busted.
And eggs.
I got a good friend.
Yes.
He's not even a Christian.
He's
not a Christian. He's not a Catholic. And he's probably one of my best friends. I know I can call him anytime. And he's much older than me. So he's like a father figure in a way. But I trust the
1765.
I didn't know I can place my faith in their life here. And living with personal things. It's not a doctor, it's a doctor, retired.
Is he here in the city?
Yeah, Lago.
Okay, so I can meet you.
Yeah, I've retired. I spent most of the time up in Sibrim. And I told my fiance, if I'm ever sick, don't call my children. Call these guys. That's how much
it costs. That's an emergency contact. Maybe we should all get
it. Like to stay?
Andre,
I've had better here, but
you can call them.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
It all feels like a little bit.
I think that's an honest signal.
You know what, Andre? You're not alone. I have issues, I have problems, and you know what? And I know a lot of guys here, but I'm like that. Who do I call?
I have a tendency to bury myself in busyness. I have a lot of
girls out here.
I really enjoy the nursing home and pour my life into other people's lives. That's what I enjoy. I really, really enjoy it. And I think that's what helps me deal with a lot of the things that come over.
You know,
a lot of people that really love
me
know that. I know, I've done it many times for myself.
I know, I've been homeless for 5 years.
Well, I like that friendship. It's a little bit of brother. Because even though we attack one another,
there is something wrong with Christ.
And he's always mad.
He wants to be mad.
Foundational stone.
It's like doing it again. I agree. I'm a
broken stone, a cornerstone.
Amen.
In my life, and by being able to go to him, it enables me to get through the time needed till a brother comes alongside, you know. Because sometimes it's prevented. And I've seen it time and time again where the devil's tactic is to isolate you
right,
so that he can come against you and overwhelm you.
Amen.
And,
who do you talk to?
I've got a couple pastors and then also the men from the discipleship group I'm part of that meets every other Sunday night.
Awesome. You know, what I want to do, guys, I'm going to turn around because he does his video and he puts it on Facebook all the time. And there's people out there. Is there anybody that watches these things?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
There's a few people that watch me, yeah.
Okay. But you know what, I just want to make a comment to the camera. You know, and I don't know if I'm out of the picture or whatever. You know, guys, I don't care who you are, where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But the reality is of having a friend and having a brother is so important. That's why God says in His Word not to forsake the gathering as many have. And we shrink back into our own issues, our own scenario, and we become prideful. And that's a sin, the sin of pride. Our Lord tells us to come together with a brother, encouraging one another, lifting one another up. And that's what God called us to do. And it's so important for us to be together as men, be able to come to a place where we could let our hair down and we could say whatever we have to say it and whatever vocabulary we want to say it in order to be able to express the feelings and the hurts that we're all going through. So I just encourage all those that may hear this, see this, that they also too will find a small group like this where they're able just to sit down and have a topical discussion on issues of life. Issues of life, things that we're dealing with, things that we're going through. My brother right here, Sam, had his wife pass away after married for 40 years. Many of us have lost friends that we used to come together and we miss them. Like I miss Andy and there's other people in my life. And so we have these times that we're sad. We're in our own place. So like one of the brothers said that he buries himself in work and that's how we do it, you know? Or alcohol or drugs or whatever. But I'm asking you right now that you ask God to direct you to a place so you could come to this place and follow us. So because whatever is said here stays here. I mean, except for guys on here though. But the reality is that you can say whatever you want to say it and whatever. We've lost some great guys here. We had a Catholic guy that was here. Man, he was whacked out weird for us. But you know what? We loved him. And shortly before he passed away, he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. So whether you believe or you don't believe, it doesn't matter. This group is open to whosoever. Thank you. So, you know, I think that, I don't know, God always brings these things and to one of us. And the idea and the reality is that we are, you know, our own. You know, and we go through issue. You know, I was talking to Romeo yesterday. You know, I love Romeo. I love what he does. And you know, but yeah, you know, like Romeo, like other people, you walk with the cross. You do all these different things. But I can't. I guarantee you, there's people in here that are lonely. People that are hurt. You know, yeah, we go work here, we go do this, bury ourselves in our own jobs and whatever. And but yet, you know, we're still lonely. And you know, I just thank God that He put this group together so that we can sit together and encourage one another, lift one another up. I thank our secretary here, Mahoney, that does his best. So. I just want to thank you guys, man, because this is a great group, man.
This ain't the end. I mean, we hate to see Terry close and go. We're going to go on. We're going to carry this on. And it doesn't matter the restaurant. It matters the men that come to this group.
Amen.
So let's keep it strong, keep it together. And remember, reach out to somebody. We're all here for one another.
Amen.